Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware.
Well, our next guest thought it might be interesting for you to get a first-hand account of what it's like to test positive when it comes to the coronavirus and then to be quarantined. And he joins us on the Harbor One hotline. My pal, Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Greg. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning.
Can you just confirm that you and I used to play over 40 hockey together? There are some who are disputing that claim by me.
Greg was the star of the team.
Thank you very much, star of the team. And I thank you for reaching out yesterday. And Jeff is not only a friend of mine, but a listener of the show. And so you thought it might be interesting to kind of take people through what it's like to go through this. And you want to start kind of symptomatically, like when you started to feel like you might be ill?
Sure. First of all, I would say that I'm one of the lucky ones because I think my symptoms have been more on the milder side. At least they have in the first 7 days, but there's certainly a lot of people out there that are in tougher shape than me. And then I would put a shout out to all the people on the front lines, the nurses and EMT people and all them, because I'll tell you, they are the true heroes in this, and they've made it so much easier. But to answer your question about when did it all start, my family and I came up to Maine last weekend thinking we could get away from the virus, and little do they know, I think maybe I brought it up to the state of Maine. But I was really doing, I was absolutely healthy last week, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, it was kind of like a hammer dropped on my lungs with lung congestion and inability to really breathe, that breathlessness kind of feeling. So it started on Wednesday. And then it went into Thursday. Certainly got my attention on Wednesday and into Thursday. And I had made the decision later on Thursday that if I woke up Friday feeling the same way, that I would start to get in touch with the medical community to see what it was I should be doing.
And so you, I assume you woke up not feeling great. You would then reach out to your doctor. And at what point did they determine that you would get a test?
Well, so I'm not in the Boston area, so I'm up in here around Skowhegan, Maine. So the nearest hospital is the Reddington Hospital. So I contacted them and was surprised that I could talk to a person immediately, which was great. And they had asked me to contact the CDC. And of course, when somebody says call something related to the government, you kind of roll your eyes and say, okay, maybe we're going to get a call back and so on and so forth. But to my surprise, I went through the process with the CDC and it took less than an hour. and they suggested that I contact Reddington Hospital again. So then I contacted the hospital, and I drove over there on Friday.
And the test, is it a difficult thing to go through? I've heard some say that it is. It's tough to go through the test.
Well, I would say that it really comes down to what your threshold of pain is.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I didn't find it too bad. It obviously hurts, but it's quick.
Yeah.
So it takes about a couple of seconds. They do take kind of like a longer cotton swab kind of thing, and they put it pretty deep into your sinuses. So it does hurt, but it's only a second or two. So
That was Sunday, and then their advice to you was, or what they told you to do, was to then go quarantine. So I assume the family took off or whatever, right?
Yeah, my family had taken off on Sunday, so it was just my son and up here, my son and I. So there's two of us here and two of us back in Mass. But on the swabbing thing, so the swabbing thing happened on Friday. What was interesting when I went to the hospital is they specifically said, don't go in the building. There's a tent on the right. So I went to the tent on the right and got out of my car, and there were two people to greet me, and they asked me some qualifying questions about my symptoms and what my recent travels have been like. And with the answers to those questions, they had me get back in the car and drive to the other side of the hospital where there was another tent, where they said, don't get out of your car. And then somebody approached me from the passenger side, requalified me, and then some people came out and administered the test while I was in the car, which was pretty amazing because they're not letting you get anywhere near the front doors of that hospital if they think you're sick.
And from a symptom point of view, you said the shortness of breath, the pressure in your lungs. What else are you experiencing?
Yeah, so for me, it's been a little bit of a scratchiness to a sore throat, but nothing really bad. The congestion, that's a little concerning when you feel like you have a lot of mucus or something built up in your lungs. But even like waking up in the morning, you feel pretty good. And then throughout the day, it kind of builds up. But the shortness of breath really gets you. I mean, like a lot of guys around Boston, I'm a hockey referee. I'll do 4 to 8 games on a weekend. We're used to being pretty active and huffing and puffing up and down the ice. And honest to God, I can't go up a flight of stairs without feeling like maybe I'm, drowning. You just can't get enough air in your lungs. So that's the scariest part about the whole thing.
Did they ask you to retrace your steps to try to determine where you got it? And did they then ask you to tell them everybody that you had come in contact with?
Wow, Greg, that is a fantastic question. And if you would have asked me what was one of the things that I underestimated the most and never even gave a thought of, that would absolutely be it, because the forensics that goes on to back into where you might have gotten this thing is amazing. So I got my test on Friday morning, and on Sunday morning I got the results back. And I would say at least 4 hours on Sunday, at least 8 hours on Monday, at least a couple of hours yesterday, and it'll go into today. There is a constant stream of businesses that are making contact with me to make sure we got it all right. So you're literally walking your life back hour by hour over the previous 2 weeks to identify people you came in contact with or businesses that you went into. And each one of those businesses has an HR department, so you're kind of doing things over and over again. But they're going through an amazing amount of detail, and probably the most significant example of that has been a grocery store up here in Maine that actually took my credit card number and correlated that back to the receipt, which told them what day and time I was in their store. And then they pulled their security tapes, and they literally watched me walking through their store and watched the transaction at the checkout counter to see what my distance was from her people and whether or not I sneezed or coughed in their presence.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
When it comes to that, by the way, a texter wants to know how old you are, Jeff. What are you, 50, 54, 55? How old are you?
I wish. 61.
Okay. And going through this as you have, testing, getting the positive test result on Sunday, and now it being Wednesday, what do you think of the country's response and what the what's been put in place? Is that enough? Would you advise more? What, where do you stand as somebody who's going through this?
Well, my journey could be completely different from someone else. So I'm sitting up here in Northwoods, Maine, with, you know, Reddington Hospital, which is probably not seeing a lot of traffic, versus Boston or New York or one of the bigger cities. But the support that I've gotten in the whole process has been literally a game material. Whoever set this thing up, if it's Trump, he nailed it on this end, because everybody I came in contact with knew exactly what they were doing. They didn't have a question of what the protocol was or what the process was like. From the time that I called the hospital on Friday to going through the test to getting the results, and I've talked with the state of Maine Department of Health twice. I've gotten two callbacks from the hospital since Sunday just checking up on me. So, the medical community here is extremely organized. So I would say it's been A-game material.
And what do they do, you know, I assume you don't mind sharing it. Do they end up testing your family as well right away, or how does that work?
No. So what they're doing there is, so of course they gave me a mask to go home with, and I wear that religiously. The house that we're in up here has two floors. So my son is sleeping on one floor and I'm sleeping on the upper floor. We have two different showers, so we're using different showers. We're probably only spending maybe 15 minutes a day within 10 feet of each other. So my son and I, he's 18, we're staying far away from each other. My wife and son, who traveled back home last Sunday, are on a 14-day quarantine. So I think that the protocol that everybody's following now is, if you have been in contact with someone that was diagnosed positive, you should automatically put yourself into a 14-day quarantine and then make contact with your primary care physician and get more guidance and advice from them. And if any symptoms come up, obviously you want to contact your doctor again.
And do they offer you the opportunity to try any medication or anything like that?
Not yet. I think it's probably any of this early trial stuff is probably has more to do with people that are in much worse condition, people that you see in hospitals that are really kind of like really struggling with their breathing and stuff. So I think those are probably the first people that they'll be doing anything with. What I'm trying to do is just try to stay close to that, so that if it looks like it's available to me, that I can jump on the opportunity.
Well, I thank you very much for sharing your story. I think it's really interesting to people who are wondering what it's like to experience testing positive and then to go into quarantine and then to be dealing with it. So I wish you a speedy recovery, Jeff. And thanks a lot for coming on this morning and sharing your story with everybody.
Hey, you're welcome. One last comment I would make is, when I first got it, I sat down and said to myself, what would LB do in a case like this?
So you got what hammered?
Did you start drinking? No. You started doing tequila shots is what LB would do.
Burn it out.
If anybody can survive it, it's Lyndon Byers. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but hey, Danielle.
Yes.
Danielle, this is what I did. I put on my hiking boots. I went out and hiked in the woods of Maine, hoping to get the Lyme disease. This way I could have a Corona and a Lyme.
Oh, Jeff, yes.
All right, Jeff, thank you. All right.
Have a great day, guys. All right. Good
you
luck.
You too.
All right. Take
Google
care, buddy. Good luck. All right.
Can we get an embargo on that joke?
On the Corona Lyme joke?
We got to go. Yeah.
Well,
I'm done.
I mean, if you're going through it, aren't you
I'm giving Jeff a pass on
dispensation.
It. I'm giving him a pass. But I heard the caller earlier who cracked herself up with it, and she sounded, I gave her a pass. But every moron who tweets it, who thinks they're the first one that came up with that, they're like, ha-ha, did you hear? I'm like, yep. Yeah. Good, mm-hmm. Thanks. Yep.
In 9 months, there's going to be Corona babies.
I see. It's funny
Bobby
you say
wasn't
that.
Really dead on Dallas.
Yeah. It's funny everyone says that, like, oh, can you imagine, like, the Corona baby boom? Like, who in God's green earth is going anywhere near somebody else so as to make...
People who aren't married, Nick.
They are?
Yes, they're having sex at free random.
Yep. AFR.
They're utilizing the apps.
What is wrong with these people?
They're having constant corona quarantine sex.
Do you do that through just a sheet of plastic
wrap? So people are doing reverse quarantine and everything else? Oh, come on.
It's like the old days, and they used to pull the sheet up over you with the hole in it.
Probably people. I mean,
like water for chocolate.
I can only imagine that there's people who are having quarantine threesomes and the like. I mean,
that's happening.
Oh. These people are savages.
Quarantine three-way.
Okay.
Menage a quarantine.
All right.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, how about you stay in your own state and quit traveling state to state? So is that directed at you? No, that's directed at Jeff. I mean, they didn't tell people that they couldn't travel. I mean, I don't.
We shouldn't have to tell you this. Just stay where we are.
This tweet just was unearthed by Yashar Ali, one of the big guys on Twitter. Mm. I think he writes for, I don't know what magazine. Bill de Blasio, March 2nd. I'm encouraging New Yorkers to go on with your lives and get on the town despite the coronavirus. I will offer these suggestions. Here's the first through Thursday, March 5th, to go see The Traitor and telling everybody to go to the movies and live their life on March 2nd. So,
well, I don't think I don't think anybody. There's differing opinions on what is the right thing to do. Certainly, and you can't hold people accountable on suggesting that you try to live your life.
Well, he's lecturing Trump every day about how big of an idiot he is, when on March 2nd he was telling everybody to go out, and now New York is a disaster.
You're confusing him with the governor.
Right, and how can anyone have expected any other place in the United States to have not turned into the epicenter or a veritable ground zero hotspot than the most tightly quartered city in America?
Well, Ken, when you hear Jeff say what he's gone through with regard to protocol, Are you still going to insist, as you did in your lead this morning at 6, that we need some kind of a tracking app that every American is under so that we know where you've been and what you've done?
Well, that's encouraging. Like, I wonder if it would have taken less time, though, with the app. And is that happening everywhere in the country, as dutiful as Maine is being about it? That's good to hear, though.
And then all of a sudden, everyone forgets they have the app installed on their phone. And 2 years from now, some judge in Topeka, Kansas, issues a ruling to access the app data in a murder case. And now all of your information has been exposed.
Well, there are. If you get a warrant, you can already use it in murder cases, I believe.
Yeah, I know, but there's a process.
But don't you get concerned at all?
I do,
Trump will go after illegal immigrants
with this stuff. Like, I mean, I know it. Believe me.
It's like the Patriot
Act. Do you think the illegal immigrants are signing up for the app? Ken.
Mandate. Everybody must sign up. See, this is part of the problem. Every governor is on their own. If Trump would give a universal order, the state of Florida has not gotten into lockdown yet. I mean, what is that about?
What do you do about people that don't have smartphones?
Yeah,
well, they could not go into lockdown in Florida until Tom Brady successfully entered the state and had his press conference yesterday.
And had Giselle videotape that feel-good sing-along with the kids.
Yes.
With Ben and Viv.
In all seriousness, though, Ken's right. Florida is full of the people that are vulnerable to this disease. How could they not act yet? It's bizarre.
Seriously. It's true.
There are people who have been texting in all morning from the Cape, where all they see is New York license plates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, get out.
And they're terrified.
I don't blame
That's all
them.
I saw when I was down there a week and a half ago, Greg, and people were saying, like, watch out. This place could be bad news because so many people are coming in from Jersey and New York. Like, I know, I'll just get away to the Cape.
Well, that's probably why yesterday Nantucket issued a stay-at-home order.
Yes.
An order.
An order.
The only community in Massachusetts to do so.
Correct.
I believe so far. You cannot leave your home.
P-Town also.
You cannot leave your massive home. Can you go to the guest house?
Yes.
Are you allowed? Okay.
Yes.
I don't know if
this came up earlier when I wasn't listening, but Oprah has banished Stedman to the guest house.
Does anybody believe that Stedman wasn't already sleeping in the guest house?
That's why they've been together so long.
Yes.
Can anyone prove Stedman is real?
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, Paul?
What's going on? I want to know what Governor Baker and Marty Walsh are doing about all the buses coming up here to South Station from New York. There's tons of people moving up, coming up from New York. They're just going to spread that everywhere.
I mean, would you rather than stop people from, you know, going to a store here in Massachusetts, would you prefer that the governor said nobody from New York is allowed to cross the border? You would. Is that un-American to say that? Where do you stand on that, Ken?
How do we control that? Almost,
yeah, how would you control that? That'd be impossible to enforce.
What do you mean?
You put a temporary ban on interstate travel. You tell all the bus lines and you have Amtrak and whatnot. You're just going to have to like, hey, sorry, for the next month, we can't be shipping people to and from. I mean, we're not that far away from that. The government very well may soon mandate, if we go into right before a national lockdown, we could ban interstate travel.
You're basically telling the people of Massachusetts, you got to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything commerce wise.
Right.
But you're allowing people who are fleeing New York
to come here?
I don't know.
Wouldn't the better approach be for the federal government to quarantine like they did Westchester County in a circular area around the major hotspot?
It's been left to the governors to do that.
I know, that's a problem.
It's a state by state thing.
Isn't it scary though, in all seriousness, how unprepared we are as a nation, Republican, Democrat? I'm not blaming anybody. It's just how absolutely caught off guard all of us were by this, and how it can just so easily shut down everything in a matter of days.
I know. If only another giant country with a huge economy we were so reliant on came down with it 3 months prior, right?
I think it's interesting, though, to look at the fragile nature of things. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize how easily a restaurant can fold. And not because it's not successful, just because of the nature of the industry. Like yesterday you mentioned Toro in New York, Ken Oringer's place, which is a very successful place. It's been open for 7-8 years.
It's done.
And it's done.
It's
for
finished.
Good now. And you're going to see a lot of restaurants that have been open for a long time are going to fold permanently. And I think people are starting to see the very, unstable nature of a lot of industries.
Well, yes. And that's why there has to be some way. I mean, Ken says it's dangerous for the president to suggest that we might go back to work around Easter time. But don't you have to give people
some way, so
if you own a small business and you think, all right, I got to make it till April 12th.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the president is supposed to be doing, Ken?
Aren't you then lying to your employees if it doesn't happen? So we're going to hold Trump to the fire on that. So if you don't want to file for unemployment, or if you're an employer trying to figure out your finances.
You're such a miserable sod.
I'm a miserable sod because I'm realistic about the timeline that medical experts are showing us. The wave has not even hit yet.
This is like literally the worst time for me to have to come in the studio.
If you are a family, let's say, that does make, we've heard that you can't have a happy life in Massachusetts if you make less than $130,000, like an insane amount of money.
So you're not getting a stimulus check.
Average working family, a working family of two that makes $150,000 that has two kids could receive up to $3,400.
Correct.
Wouldn't that help mitigate some of the damage that you're receiving? Even if you have to make some scale backs and cutbacks of your own and tighten the proverbial family budget belt, wouldn't that help at least for the next couple of weeks when we really have to be most conscious?
But you're talking about, so $3,400, you're talking about a family that lives in Boston,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to be two people. Right.
So two people who make if you make $75,000 or less, you get the full $1,200. A couple could get
$150. Right?
Yep, okay. And then you get $500 per child.
Okay, so your rent is $3,400. Where do you pay?
That
where
helps.
Pay, I mean,
that,
but that's everything still else. Where is everything else coming from?
We're assuming that everyone else just went on an end-of-the-world binge the night before and doesn't have a slush fund or a couple bucks tucked away.
Don't.
I know,
people
not everyone
paycheck
does.
People live paycheck to paycheck. People live paycheck to paycheck.
And you don't want to cash in any of your retirement or anything else because the market, upon which it obviously depends, mm-hmm. has been walloped.
And what about the airlines who were overbooked every day for about 3 years with this economy, and then in 2 or 3 weeks they're all of a sudden belly up? Like, I don't understand how that works. Shouldn't you have some surplus
of
profit?
They should have some cash on hand.
Look at JetBlue. I mean, it was like $200 to get a bag on the plane with overcapacity a month ago, and now they're bankrupt.
Well, they're fully booked flying to Florida. I don't know if you saw that yesterday or not, but every flight to Florida. People are willing to risk getting sick so that they can be in Florida.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
$49 fares, guy.
All right. We are way behind. We got to get to what is trending.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, Tom Brady remains trending. It's been, a week since the news broke? Week and a day since the news broke that he was leaving town. He had his first media availability yesterday. Ben Volen was very first in there on the media
prominent
questions.
Great question by Trolling Collins.
Trolling question.
We'll take our next question from Ben Bolden of the Boston Globe.
Hey, Tom. Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there.
Thanks,
have
Ben.
A question, have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day, or whenever that was, when you left, stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, that they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, again, I'm not responsible for, how other people, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, two decades, I referenced that the other day.
So very classy by Tom Brady.
What would you? I mean, Curtis expected him to go all Antonio Brown during his press conference yesterday. That's not Tom Brady. He's not a scorched earth guy.
I know, but when people are lying about you to the media, at some point you have to get your backup, I would presume. Maybe it'll be in the book one day already. Well,
Curtis, you still have one thing to look forward to, and that is the one-day contract and the jersey retirement.
Ooh, baby, hosted by Bob Soucy.
Ooh, I believe, Fitzy, I don't want to give away your lead, but Fitzy had some news regarding jerseys. Maybe he wants to tease for later, or
May have a little info.
Give it to us.
May have learned a little information about what the new Patriots uniforms will look like.
Okay.
Never know. Huh? Let's just say home and away will be quite a rush.
What a rush?
Color rush?
Lots of color rush jerseys next year for the
Patriots? Never know.
Okay.
Never know. The redesign could very well be on. We may have some uniformity of color in a rush.
This could be, that's indication more of a sweeping overhaul of the franchise, wouldn't you say, Hillman? Like a collective concerted, sweeping out the old and we're in with the new.
We need a new Pat Patriot, a new Elvis Patriot logo. Let's rebuild the whole entire thing.
I just wish they'd go in all black uniforms, call themselves the expats, and just embrace the role of being the bad guy everyone wants to beat.
So, listen, sometimes you got to break it and start all over again, Ken. Even if it's not broke, you break it and you start all over again.
Old guys, including Devin McCourty, who is coming on tomorrow, correct?
Yes. The show? Yeah. Devin McCourty will join us at 9 tomorrow, and he's written a great excellent piece, not as good as Ken's column on WEEI.com, an excellent piece for the Players Tribune on the new England.
He thought he would leave, but he is committed to staying and wants to play his whole career in the place it began. Great read.
There he is, a loyal guy.
By the way, I'd like to just say we're always told to fact-based information.
Yes.
So I want to cite, when talking about the wave in the United States and when it could hit, experts, at least from Columbia University, are saying with no control measures, the United States wave would peak May 21st, later dates for some control measures and severe control measures. So not everybody's conclusive and agrees on that, but just want to say that's an expert citation.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. That's what's true. Philip Dorsett is now a Seattle Seahawk, signing a one-year deal. You going to miss him, Fitzy?
That was my answer.
Okay. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
This is Tony from New Hampshire. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, man. The one thing, doing all right. Hope you guys are good.
Doing good.
The crazy thing about the whole stimulus packet and, you know, servers, all this, I was in the restaurant industry for years. Nobody looks at, you know, the commission salesperson. The Massachusetts shutting down is going to cost me about $18,000 because I can't get two pieces of paper signed in that space. Some of us get paid on a quarterly basis.
What is it that you sell?
It's financing.
Okay. So,
everything is done online except for the last piece of paper where you need a physical signature.
And you can't, why can't you do a DocuSign thing?
The DocuSigns, well, they don't fly in this industry, so we actually have to physically get it and have it a witness and a signature.
Can't you, like, slip it under the door or something, or use, like, a set of kitchen tongs or something like that?
You know, I've been operating on the dark side of black my whole life, but gray's looking pretty good right about now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's going to be, the stimulus is going to help a lot of people when the checks come. I mean, are those coming by the end of the week? Did they give any indication? They got a deal done shortly after 1 a.m. last night.
Correct.
And it's about $2 trillion?
Correct.
$2 trillion. And those checks will be hopefully arriving end of the week,
hopefully.
Monday, Tuesday. I mean, the government moves quickly.
Uh-huh.
We know that.
Turning around an aircraft carrier that's stalled.
They move quickly. This is Jerry.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Jerry.
What's up, Jerry?
Hey, so I love Ken. I love Ken. How he cherry picks his associations with PhDs. Uh-huh. So, and this is coming from somebody who has a PhD in their family. The short part is, just because you have a PhD at the end of your name doesn't mean you know jack poop, okay? You may think you do, but I've lived it. I can tell you firsthand experience. It don't mean that you are any smarter than anybody else. He cherry picks the PhD. Well, let's go to Harvard. There's probably not an institution on the planet that produces more PhDs. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yet they're still producing PhDs in romantic literature and you know, stuff like this. Telling people you can get a job, make a living doing that. No, you can't. You certainly cannot. Good luck, you know, knowing about James Joyce and Chaucer. And what are you going to do with that? You ain't going to do nothing with that.
Chaucer.
Okay. But to Ken's point, the wave, the PhDs, the experts. Ken, do you realize that there are PhDs in climate Scientology who think global warming is a farce? There are. In fact, the MIT professor emeritus at MIT, the smartest guy at MIT, thinks global warming is a farce. Yet you don't cite his expertise when you're climbing up a flagpole to wave the surrender flag about climate change.
Well, I'm all for listening to Trump's experts talk about Easter being the crest of the wave. I mean, I haven't heard that. You're right. It's just one site from Columbia University. They did a study that mapped out peaks per state and where the United States would peak out, and most of them are May. But
well, this is an interesting question, and I'm not being argumentative. I'm asking honestly. Do you only listen to medical experts on this, or do you also consider economic experts when it comes to the effect that all of this is going to have on the country? Or is it just, do you believe that the medical overrules? Because we would all agree Dr. Fauci,
yep,
knows his stuff when it comes to infectious diseases. And
we need an app to track Dr. Fauci.
Dale wants it.
But not an economist. So,
sure.
And not concerned really with the effects that a massive, like a Great Depression type economic crash would have on the entire country. So do you listen to others, or are you only listening to the medical?
Well, you know, I've been promoting this Cuomo, who cited a Yale study talking about the young people going back to work first and maybe phase them in. I'm all for that. I'm open ears to that.
I mean, for those who are interested in reading and looking at...
What's reading?
It's what you do when you run out of Netflix shows to watch and you're out of food.
How about a book on tape?
And you're not having a corn three-way. If you like to look at the other side of things, there's an excellent piece that I read yesterday, which is called Why Flattening the Curve is Overrated. You can just Google that. And,
it's written by Rob Bradford.
And Pensford.com.
And Clay Buchholz.
It's by Ken Laird on WEEI.com. but Pensford.com, PENSFORD.com, and Y Flattening. And it suggests that some may get, some like Ken, Danielle, Nick maybe, may get a false sense of security when it comes to flattening the curve because... A virus doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to keep everybody safe from a virus is a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're all in on everybody staying away from work and staying away from going out and doing some of their daily business, you probably have to be all in on doing that until we have a vaccine. Because if you flatten the curve, I'm not an expert. I read what others say. I listen to everything. If you flatten the curve and then everybody resumes their way out into the ether,
mm-hmm. if you will,
everybody is burping their way back into the ether. You find yourself in the same situation that you're in because you don't have a vaccine.
So it's another curve, basically. It's a new curve.
But you do remember when Dr. Boney joined the show on Monday from Penn State that he did say, this is the greatest challenge that our society has faced since World War II, and that we have to all be in this together. So we can't, there have been just so many damn societal, economic, medical half measures. As a matter of fact, the only people that seem to be committing to non-half measures are the medical community. We either need to decide to stick it out for 3 weeks or a month and then help each other get back on our feet financially, physically, or just slowly reintegrate and then suffer the consequences.
But we know one thing for sure. We know that the economy is dying from these actions. What we're doing right now is killing the economy.
No, we don't know that. They just passed a stimulus. That's not fact.
Okay.
2.5 million people lost their job last weekend.
My source is the fact that the Dow futures are down based on the stimulus package, so it's not enough, clearly, to the people that are making the decisions on Wall Street.
You know what I want to talk about that I'm incensed by is the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, and his comments about old people basically being willing to die to save the economy.
You're incensed by that?
I am.
Why?
Because
it
just...
by a guy's opinion?
Because it's just... It seems ridiculous to me. Can we play the audio of his... He was on with Tucker Carlson two nights ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how no one consulted him and other seniors about this.
Okay. And, you know, Tucker, no one reached out to me and said, as a senior citizen, are you willing to take a chance on your survival in exchange for keeping the America that all America loves for your children and grandchildren? And if that's the exchange, I'm all in. And that doesn't make me noble or brave or anything like that. I just think there are lots of grandparents out there in this country, like me, I have six grandchildren, that what we all care about and what we love more than anything are those children.
What's wrong with
it? Feels like it's turning into the Hunger Games quickly.
What's wrong with the guy
It's just morose. It's just a morose stance. Like, I get what he's saying, but it just seems like... You know, what are we going to lie? Like, okay, so all the elderly people that are willing to die go on this side. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, are we gonna have, like, we've got drive-up places where you can go get tested now. Are we also going to have sacrifice villages?
Right. It goes back
Hashtag die for the Dow was trending yesterday. Are we losing our minds?
This was one of my early struggles with this in how dismissive people are about how it affects older people. And they're like, well... It only really affects elderly people and those people that are sick anyway. Like, it doesn't make it any less difficult of a loss for families and people.
He's not, as an elderly guy, he's not allowed to say that he'd be willing to take a risk for the sake of his grandchildren?
I don't think it helps. I just don't think it comes across well.
But people work a lifetime. People work a lifetime to get savings. that they then watch grow in the stock market, to only see it totally evaporate in a matter of a week, gone. People losing millions
of people.
Curtis
is worried about the inheritance, by the
way. Oh, my God. Hey, I said twice last night.
Curtis, this just ends. Money, markets, and industry can recover. You know who can't? Dead people.
You know who can't? The 10,000 people that took their own lives in 2008 as a result of the economic downturn.
Here's a nice thing. Here's a nice 401 text that says, I hope all the seniors in your family die horrible deaths from this virus.
That's nice.
That's a nice
thing. Wow, Rhode Island's on edge this morning.
Oh, that's a nice
thing. Downstairs Joe texted that in.
That's a really nice thing.
From his Google Voice number.
Jesus, take a walk on the beach, guy.
Just 6 feet away from everybody else.
Grab a Gansett. Chill out. Jesus.
Do people know that their numbers are on those?
I don't think they do.
That's what I love when people text in and they write their phone number. I'm like, you know, we can see, A, your phone number, and B, literally anything you've ever texted into the show. So when the people are like, I haven't listened to the show in months, I just tuned in this morning and it still sucks, and I'm like, oh, you texted last Tuesday and last Thursday about something Greg said, so I think that's a lie.
Well, they know when they're complaining, they know every single thing that's come
everything
out of my mouth,
right?
Because they're listening,
right?
Daily.
But I haven't listened in months.
You guys read this? Wait, you guys can return our text?
Nice, I love that.
It's like, if you disagree with anybody's opinion, you immediately want thousands of people to die.
Right.
I don't want anybody
of
to
course
die.
Not. Nobody
right. I wish that there were a way to eliminate the deaths that we have in this country from influenza.
Mm-hmm. Just regular.
I mean, why don't we quarantine? I mean, if influenza kills 20,000 people a year in this country, why don't we quarantine during this time every year?
I think the theory is, and I'm no expert, and this is not something I've officially seen, but I'm just putting this together in my brain, is that between herd immunity and vaccinations, they've essentially made the number of people that die from regular influenza,
okay,
while the number is high,
the 20,000 people, that's okay.
It's far less than it would be if we didn't have things like the vaccine. So I think they're saying, I think that's the rationale behind not doing that. And it doesn't spread as quickly as this. I don't know.
And
I
usually
don't know.
You know when you have the flu and you act rationally, whereas people, I don't believe, and I'll be the 900th person to say, I'm no expert on this morning show, but the asymptomatic nature of COVID-19 may be, that's the silent killer. That's what seems to be most dangerous now, Greg, that four out of five.
You really don't have an answer. Like, you don't have an answer for me when I ask why we don't quarantine. I mean, the flu, influenza kills 20,000 people a year in the country. Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't the biggest short-term issue with this particular virus, we're going to run out of ventilators, or the projection is we might in a lot of these places.
Right.
Sure.
And then you're missing a key ingredient which might save lives, whereas
sure,
that's not an issue with influenza.
But I always bet on it, like, good old American ingenuity that will come up with the ventilators. I mean, I bet on that.
Well, that's another part of the problem. You got President Cuomo saying they sent 400. He needs 3,000. Right. He needs 20,000.
Yes, he needs them. He's going to need them. I don't know that he needs them this second. He needs them. That's a horrible thing. But there are certainly companies like Ford Motor Company, others, who step up and say, all right, let's go ahead. Right. It's like, if it's a wartime situation, mm-hmm, then there are people who are going to step up.
That's what he's saying. President Trump should order these companies to make the products, and he's not doing that. He's hoping they will.
Plan. Did you see that doctor who was able to sort of jerry-rig the ventilator and turn it into 8 sub-ventilators as well? So he was able to actually allow 9 people to use a single ventilator. That's
like a USB
Elon
bus.
And Elon Musk actually tweeted him out and said, this is genius. This is what we need.
He's like MacGyver. Yeah.
Right.
The guy's like MacGyver.
Yeah. Hey, I actually
just got the numbers in. Sorry, before we go to break. Yeah. 50 people died of boredom during the Oddballs 2 weeks ago.
Curtis.
Good thing you didn't say this weekend.
Right.
We will be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
By request, Ken, is that correct?
Yeah, a lot of Jackson Brown love has sad news. He's got coronavirus.
This is wildly irresponsible. He is 71 years old. He's prime Jinx target.
Well,
he's already got it. What are we going to jinx him further?
You can jinx him further, Ken.
He says mild symptoms. That's good news.
Can't we send a musical get well card to Jackson Brown?
You just don't care, do you? You're just going rogue. You don't care about anything. I
mean, there is no musical edible arrangement you can send to somebody, Craig. I hate to say it.
I'm still trying to figure out how Prince Charles got it. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if Prince Charles, who never, ever comes into contact with the regular people, if he could get it.
The common folk.
You're stepping the help.
Is that what's going on?
Ooh, what if he got it on purpose as a means of infecting his mom so that he takes over the throne?
Wow.
Oh, that would make an amazing season
that
of
would
the
be
Crown.
That would be an amazing.
The Crown, great show to watch.
Excellent program.
While you're stuck at home. And it's 9:01, and that means it's time for everybody to change into their work sweatpants.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Or their work pajamas.
It's also time for mid-morning snack. So oatmeal was at 7:30.
Oatmeal.
Now you can have a steak.
Oatmeal raisin cookie.
You can't find it. I couldn't find oatmeal on the shelves when I went to the grocery store 10 days ago. Oatmeal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's oatmeal.
Can you picture Nick running around Shaw's looking for oatmeal?
Yes, I can.
Well, you already bought up. You already hoarded all the wipes, so nobody else.
Hold on a second.
So none of our senior citizens can get medical wipes.
Well, they're all gonna hashtag die for the Dow.
Right,
Curtis. I love the fact that me buying oatmeal entertains you. What is wrong with oatmeal? It's good carbohydrate, consistent energy, high fiber.
Very on brand.
This is Eddie. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, good morning.
What's up,
Eddie? I've got a few things to say, and you've given me a few more things to say listening to you.
Yes.
You know, the governor of New York, you know, he's screaming that he needs more ventilators.
Yep.
And I hear you saying, oh, don't worry, they'll send them. But, you know, tell that to the poor guy that's suffocating right now and gasping for air.
Listen,
because when they need it now, they need it now.
I didn't say
I'm just making a point. And also, let me finish.
Okay.
Now, the other thing, too, that these nurses, they don't have masks that they need to take care of these people. And the point I want to make is this, is that we're into this now almost 3 weeks. Let's go into this. If we got to go 3 or 4 weeks, that's what you do. You don't swim 3/4 of the way across the lake and then decide, you know what, we need to turn around and go back. You don't go in and try to put a fire out, and once all the little smoldering is just still done, oh, it's pretty much out, let's leave. And let me tell you why. It's worth it to risk 1 or 2 more weeks now, because in the long run, God forbid, we may end up we open up and then we got to shut down for 4 or 5 months. And that's what this country can't handle. But right now, this country can handle being shut down for a month. And the small business owners, I feel for them. I'm also an independent contractor, but the government has come out and it sounds like they're going to help everybody, whether it be small loans or whether it be money they give to people. It sounds like the government is going to be there. So you know what? Right now, let's just chill a little bit. We're into this for 2 weeks. You don't get into this and then quit. And it sounds like we're quitting here. We can't quit just yet. 1 week is worth it to save 3 or 4 months down the road. And that's just my opinion.
I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for calling. I mean, one of the issues that I had with when it comes to loans with the governor was that people who were, you know, the governor announced that the state was going to offer these loans to small businesses. Mm-hmm. And then people who went and pursued them found out that there's all kinds of additional requirements, like, right. you know, whatever it is, a personal guarantee or what have you. And yeah. so there are small business people. I'm not whining about myself. People think every time I talk about this, I'm talking about myself. There are small business people who can't end right. up
they
signing
can't.
Off their, no, with their business with their, in jeopardy right. to sign off on this loan from the government.
Right. It's with not personally.
It's a loan from a bank. It's no right. different than a loan from
it's
a bank.
It's the same thing. Right.
I looked into it to protect my LLC. They said I had to subscribe to the skate pod. I was out.
That is not a great requirement.
Really? Is that true?
You know, in keeping with the theme of people who have zero respect for others, did you hear about the person who attended the coronavirus party in Kentucky and then came down with it?
Wait a minute. The coronavirus party? Is that like a measles party?
Kind of. Okay. Or maybe just a bunch of people in their 20s who don't care about what's going on and uh-huh. they want to get together and they're like, let's have a coronavirus party.
uh-huh. Now, they're not, people in their 20s are not millennials, right?
Gen Z.
Okay.
No, wait. Gen Z is millennials. I don't think they have a name for them yet.
Okay.
But if they get together, they have herd immunity because they're a Gen Z pack.
No, wait, maybe they are Gen Z. I think Gen Y was renamed millennials. I'll have to go back and double right. check. But anyway.
Reasonably clever. Come
so
on.
Where did you say this was?
In Kentucky.
So they had a coronavirus party.
Yes.
Now, gathering of 40 people?
Ish. 50, 40, something like that. People?
At which, Rand Paul's.
Which is in violation of the state's order.
Any
okay?
kind of themed food, I would imagine?
Little toothpick toothpicks with olives food. That look like little virus
oatmeal.
Particles.
Yes. Oatmeal. Quarantinis.
Oatmeal is illegal in Kentucky, Chris.
They were probably serving quarantinis, okay.
So this obviously is a big concern. At least one person from the party has tested positive. I'm sure that others will likely follow after this, but Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is not happy about this.
We have a positive case today from someone who attended a coronavirus party. And this is the part where I, the person that tell everybody to be calm, have to remain calm myself. Because anyone who goes to something like this may think that they are indestructible, but it's someone else's loved one that they are going to hurt. We are battling for the health and even the lives of our parents and our grandparents. And don't be so callous as to intentionally go to something and expose yourself to something that can kill other people. We ought to be much better than that.
I demand an EDM remix of Coronavirus Party immediately.
It does not seem smart.
No,
it really
doesn't.
Does not. When are we debuting your tune, by the way?
Listen, it's been on the deck. It's ready. Right. We're cleared for takeoff.
Coming up.
Poop deck?
In a little bit, we will get to Nick's horrid parody of the day. I guess it's corona related, as everything else is. This hold on a minute. I want to get Corey on from Biddeford, Maine, because I owe the people of Biddeford an apology. I believe I misstated yesterday that Pizza by Alex is in Saco, Maine. It's actually in Biddeford. Am I correct about that?
You are correct. I was actually going to let you know that when I called.
Great. Like the closest, I went there Saturday. Closest thing to bar pizza that you can find in Maine, and great pizza. So, yes.
I think it's the best. It's the best in Maine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually drove by the Brunswick this morning, and it says closed until further notice. How'd you get your beer the other day?
Well, I could go visit a friend who owns a.
Corey. He went rogue.
I went to visit my friend Tom, and the two of us commiserated over what's happening in this country over a drink at a place that he owns where he was hanging out. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not illegal.
Are we going to have bags through the openings in tents now?
I don't know what's going to happen with cornhole. I'm concerned about the third annual beach cornhole tournament. Very concerned. But what were you calling about, Corey?
I'm actually an Uber driver, and just this week alone, because in Uber you can put a destination and then you can put your final destination. And three women this week, they're all going to Walgreens, and I ask, are you sick? Nope, I just need my birth control at quarantine.
Oh. Well,
yesterday, we had to go to two different stores because they didn't have the Plan B pill, so I had to take it to different stores to get it and then back home.
See, I told you. There's a lot of orgies going on, and they have to rush out and get the Uber to get the Plan B.
Yeah. I mean, to Corey's point, we all have a final destination, Corey.
people are running out of things to do.
I know, but at the same time, like, that would be, like, we don't, I think there's going to be a population decrease, and not just for people that we, in 9-10 months. I think people would be petrified to bring a kid into this world at this point now. Are you nuts? And last thing we need is a bunch of people.
Stop with the drama?
No, I'm not kidding. A bunch of people that are like 25 and 26, like, hey, I know we met last week. You want to bump them and then make one? God.
That's what they're doing.
People are afraid to bring people into this world.
Hey, listen, in New York, they've banned partners coming to the hospital to give birth with their significant others.
I know.
They've done it in a lot of places. Sucks. Not just New York.
People are upset about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cambridge has banned smiles.
That was 3 years ago.
All right, we will be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.